morning. Here's the BMW of Des Moines guest list. It shapes up like this. We will start at the bottom of the hour. Mike Palm went to Las Vegas in his weekly segment. Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circus Sports. We'll go behind the counter with Mike. What are they seeing tonight? What are they seeing women's-wise over the weekend? Recap last night in the first of the two nights of back-to-back four games on slate as we get down, whittle our way down to eight teams. So Mike Palm at 11:30, then Alec Bussey from CycloneAlert.com before he gets on the airplane, head back from Boston. He will join us. We'll talk about Iowa State. We'll go inside the locker room with Alec Bussey from last night after the game was over, so we will do that. Excuse me. And then Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com joining me at about 12:30 or thereabouts. Trent's plays of the day, sponsored by Circus Sports. Trent's on the road. He's in Clinton, Iowa, the home of one of the three Wild Rose properties in the state. As Bet Rivers had a little shindig last night over there. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Mr. Miller? What's the good word?
Well, everything like everybody, right? A little bit tired here this morning, but and it's just unfortunate the way it ended. A really fun year for Iowa State hoops and didn't go as long as a lot of folks would have liked to. Now, look, UConn awaits, right? And if you watch the game that preceded Illinois and Iowa State last night, that was going to be a tough hill to climb, but you'd love the opportunity to do so. But unfortunately, on a night where Iowa State's offense was just anemic could be, you know, you mentioned it, we've talked about it, and you actually researched it yesterday because we both thought, you know, screw analytics, right? Let's do the eye test. Yes, yes. And the eye test is that this team is playing much better defensively than their defensive metrics show us. And my good God, Illinois' defense, at least early in the game, Trent, was every bit as good as Iowa State's. I was not shocked, but kind of was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were locked in and ready to go right away. It was an incredibly impressive one where you could see from the jump. I mean, it's easy to get excited for a Sweet 16 game, right? It doesn't take a whole lot of motivation to push those buttons, but whatever Underwood did certainly worked early in the game because you're right. I mean, they were belly button with each of the guys, and yep, they were ready to go on the defensive end, and Iowa State just couldn't get any room and couldn't get anything going, and you know, they tried a myriad of different things, and short of Kirk Jones, that was it. It was just one of those kind of nights where it wasn't going. Illinois kind of kept him in the game with all the missed free throws, but Iowa State just couldn't capitalize. And this is going to be one that's going to be remembered for a long time. Yes, we know what awaits in the Elite Eight and the likelihood against UConn of knocking off that team. It doesn't feel real good, I don't think, for anybody in college basketball right now. But however, you said it, to have that opportunity to be there, to be to an Elite Eight for the first time since 2000, all those things were right there. And it just, for whatever reason, was a night where they just couldn't get it clicking. You know, for a long stretch of time, there just was never that big moment that they needed. Getting over the hump, they just never could get there.
No, you're 100% right. Had their opportunities. Keshawn Gilbert had a in transition an uncontested layup that wouldn't fall. I think he was expecting contact. He didn't get it. That would have tied the basketball game. There was another opportunity. They were down two. I think Kurt Jones, and I'm not killing him. He was terrific last night. My good God. Led the team with 26. Where would they have been without him? He was fantastic. But he missed a shot and goes down the other end with, I don't know, 6 minutes left or whatever to extend it to four. So they had their opportunities. They just kept getting there, Trent, and then boom, it's 4 points down, it's 6 points down, it's 8 points down, then they cut it back to, you know, four or two. They just couldn't quite get over the hump. And you know, I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks now, is the more I watch this team, the more I've convinced as Milan Manchilovic goes offensively, so goes this Iowa State team. It's for whatever reason, they just seem to feed off their confidence builds when their freshman is making shots. And he wasn't last night. Unfortunately, picked a bad time to have a poor shooting night. The turnovers were both turned into uncontested, you know, layups at that end of the floor. So Manchilovic going to be, I'm sure this will, you know, stick with him for a while. But the good news for Iowa State fans is he's in all likelihood going to be back next year. And I say that because you just never know anymore with the world of NIL. Look, you say goodbye to Robert Jones. Boy, oh boy, what a career he had from where he started to where he leaves. Say goodbye to Trey King. You know, Trey, you don't have to catch the ball in the air. You can actually come down and then go back up. Had a couple of those opportunities. As they, how many layups and alley-oops did not go their way last night? And Hassan Ward didn't score a point and played 12 minutes and fouled out of the game. So just one of those nights, I guess, huh?
Just 9 assists on 23 made field goals. Though that one definitely jumped out of the box score to me. 12 offensive rebounds for Illinois. They were able to, and a night that they didn't play real well offensively.
No.
The Iowa State defense because of that. But, you know, they were able to get those second chance opportunities. And ultimately, I mean, it comes down to one guy, right?
Yeah, the best player on the floor.
Yeah. And we could break things down a million different ways, but one team had Taryn Shannon, the other didn't.
Yeah.
And that very well was the difference in the basketball.
No, he's an unbelievable athlete. You know, picked up his fourth foul. Stupid foul, by the way, too. You just, if you're an Illinois fan, you're pulling your hair out. You're thinking that's the last thing you need because this guy is dominating the basketball game. Dane Danger's a pain in the you-know-what, right? He's just he's a big body, and he's playing his best basketball, unfortunately, at this time of year. But this just feels like, Trent, what could have been, right? In a lot of ways, as you said to open the show, this one's gonna sting for a while. I think
it's going to be there, yeah, because of the opportunity, because of the chance, because, and this is, though it's not a team that they see often, you know, Illinois and Iowa State, they run into each other a lot on the recruiting trail, both in the portal and at the high school level too. I mean, a lot of times you're gonna see Illinois and Iowa State both listed for a lot of, you know, the Midwest kids and the Wisconsin kids, obviously, that Iowa State recruits at a high level. So, you know, they kind of got that angle, too. In fact, I thought this, I think it was halftime talking to our buddy Ted Flint last night. This would be a tremendous game. This almost feels like this should be a yearly non-conference game.
Yeah.
Right? Iowa State, Illinois. I mean, it has that feel that when does an Iowa State go out? And if they are going to improve the schedule, set up a home-and-home with them or even a Minnesota or Wisconsin, there's so many opportunities around them. I know they played Missouri a couple of years ago, but there's the opportunities that I think you could really kind of build a little bit of a non-conference schedule with so many close rivalries and so many good games, and I'd be hopeful that we'd be able to see that going forward. But I have that thought because we don't see it often, but this would be a really fun matchup because Underwood and Illinois is not going anywhere. I think they're going to be tremendous. I really respect him. And we obviously know what the Austin's doing at Iowa State.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But you're right. You know, you go back to it, right? That 2000 has been a long time ago now. Felt like they were on the precipice. They were a slight favorite in the game last night to advance to take on just a juggernaut in UConn. But Gilbert did nothing in the first half, got it going in the second half. Stan Van Gundy, I thought he was spot on a number of times last night in the basketball game, and he said it. He didn't like any of the shots that Iowa State seemingly forced up there early in the game, and that's a credit to a defense that, for whatever reason, analytics show is not that good. Well, if you watch the game last night, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, we got snowed on that one. This is a really good defense. Iowa State settled for shots early, didn't get anything that they liked, and it's a good thing Curtis Jones was subbed into the game when he was, because they wouldn't have done any scoring without him. Trent, for a while, he was the only Cyclone other than, what, I think Gilbert's one free throw that had scored for a significant period of time.
They had that stretch early in the game, what, 6 minutes with that they went scoreless until the 10-minute mark, and they were kind of lucky at that time. I mean, that couldn't have been easily, you know, 28-5, you know, something like that, just the long scoring drought that they had after they made a bucket with, what, 15 minutes to go. And Illinois, in a way, kept them in the game, but that's going to be another frustrating aspect because there's two really long stretches that you can look at. Get a bucket in there. Get somebody other than Jones that can get going. And is that now the next step for this program? You know, as we kind of look forward and we look at the future, and they're in great shape. They're going to do it in the portal, and they already have with the kid coming in from Charlotte.
Yep.
There's going to be likely more coming in. There's going to be a lot of fresh faces. But with what TJ has done over these last 3 years and shown the ability to be able to adjust on the fly, the next step is just keeping that offense going forward. Year number one, it was brutal, but they were great defensively. Year number two, it was a tick better. This year, it was at least competent. And what is the level? What is the highest level when you play defense like that? And if you're going to continue to play defensively that way, what is the highest you can do on the offensive end of the floor when you're putting so much on the defensive side of the basket?
Yeah, fair question. A night they really did a nice job on Damask. I thought Damask was going to be a matchup nightmare for this team, but they did a terrific job on him. He really struggled with that big basket late in the basketball game, right? He'd done nothing until the final couple of minutes of the game, and he had, I don't know if it was a dagger or not, but it was certainly a big basket at the time. Did a nice job on him. Like, the defense was there for Iowa State last night. It was, with the exception of Shannon. And look, Shannon's one of the best players still remaining in this tournament. You know, he's one of the best players going into the tournament. He's a he's a, I don't want to say unstoppable, because everybody's got a, you know, a key that you can limit them at least. But my good God, the athleticism on display out of him last night. Maybe the difference in the game, and he was only able to play 22 of the 40 available minutes because he was in such foul trouble last night. They couldn't make a free throw, which kept Iowa State into it. Iowa State's missing layups, they're missing alley-oops, they're missing dunks, so there was a lot of points that felt like they were left on the floor for both teams. But, man, what could have been? What could have been?
Yeah, and that's what I think we're going to be talking a lot going forward in the future, what could have been. Ultimately, though, if you can beat Illinois by 20 coming up on Saturday, I mean, we're going to be saying, okay, yeah, it's sunk to lose, but, boy, that freight train that's coming with UConn looks unstoppable again, doesn't it?
They really do, and they beat you in so many different ways. I know it's a cliche, but it's absolutely true about that team. They're incredibly well-coached. I mean, Spencer last night was out of his mind in the basketball game. I don't know how you beat them. I don't know who is going to beat them, Trent. Who's the now North Carolina? We know that they're gone. They've packed it up. We know Arizona's out, and they were. I mean, we've got what, a 4 versus a 6? I want to say, right, for a chance to go to the Final Four out in the West. So. I don't know. I don't think Illinois is going to knock off UConn. I just don't see any of the other teams that played last night going to stop UConn and prevent them from playing for a national championship. Who's it going to be?
I think it's the simplest answer, but I think it's the only realistic answer, and it's the two number one seeds that are still alive. Yeah. Purdue with Edie, it can be such a matchup nightmare that potentially that's the one. Caravan gets in foul trouble, something like that, and all of a sudden Edie gets going. That's the level I think you can look at. And, of course, Houston, just because of what they do defensively, maybe they can frustrate them. And UConn has that, you know, 3 of 28 shooting from behind the arc or something like that just because of the Houston defense. But short of that, I don't see anybody.
Yeah.
Marquette, there are two seats. No chance. Tennessee, I can't see Tennessee doing that. Creighton, well, I guess they did it earlier this year. That was also in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Just in, they will not be playing the national championship game in Omaha this year.
No.
They'll be down in Phoenix instead. So, I think it's the simplest answer, but I think it's the most realistic. I think the only teams that have a realistic chance of pulling off that shocker are the one seeds, Purdue and Houston.
Do you like Houston tonight?
I do. So initially, I was on Duke. In fact, that was one that I put in. I bought out of it, and now I'm back on the Houston side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think more than anything, I overreacted to the last 2 minutes of regulation in the Houston A&M game. I think that was a part of it, too. And just how good Duke had looked, too. That was another component, but it was against James Madison. It was beating a couple of double digits.
Right.
And the more that I thought about it, this wasn't any numbers-based thing. It was more just thinking about these teams and what Duke has been the last couple of seasons. When teams are physical with them, they will. I mean, that's the DNA now of Duke. And because of that, I went back the other side. Yeah, I really do like Houston tonight. That'll be part of my picks a little bit later on, because I just think that the physicality that they're going to play with, I just haven't seen enough from Duke. Even against North Carolina, those two matchups that we saw throughout the course of the regular season, that toughness component just isn't there, and you have to have that, obviously, to beat.
Yeah, I agree with you. This one's gonna sting. So, putting a bow on the game from last night. Iowa State says goodbye to three of their bigs. They got a couple, one in the portal, one of them's coming. Omaha Ballou's going to be a question going. I guess, is he the only, when you take a look at this roster, is he the biggest question? We know three guys have exhausted their eligibility. Ballou got some playing time. Watson certainly had his moments. It seems like TJ trusts him more than he trusts Ballou at this point, because when there, you know, there is seemingly minutes available, when Watson's not in the concussion protocol, he's getting those minutes. Looking forward to the offseason. What do you anticipate?
You know, another guy that I would, and this is just pure speculation, but you do wonder what it's going to be going forward for Jackson Pevlin. You know, we saw the moments.
Yeah.
I at times thought he should have played more.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that he wasn't able to carve out a niche because he helped him a couple of times, a couple of big spots this year that he helped him out and just didn't have the quality minutes that you'd anticipate for a guy. And I'm sure the minutes that he anticipated when he left Wofford to come to Iowa State. Now, they added another player in the portal right afterwards, but I believe that Pavelski knew that that was going to happen. So that'd be the one that I definitely
had
and wonder and speculate about it. If he's going to stick around again, it's a new era and he can transfer and be eligible right away again. And because of that, if Pavelski would be a guy that'd be looking around.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. Backcourt, Gilbert, Lipsy, Jones, they all come back, which is huge for the for those three. Do some damage, do some business in the portal, which, you know, TJ seemingly does very, very well. But Jones is, Robert Jones is going to be missed. Look, he didn't light it up statistically, but he just brought those intangibles to the team. Hassan Ward certainly had his moments. I thought he had a very good final campaign at Iowa State. And Trey King, likewise, I mean, inconsistent, but boy, when he's on, and all three of those guys that I mentioned, even if they're not scoring, they're looking after things at the defensive end of the floor. But, you know, look, they win the Big 12 tournament, a good year, they finish second in the regular season and are in the nation's most difficult conference behind a team that was, you know, and is a lot of people's a pick to cut down the nets, may obviously not as many as UConn, but finishing second in the regular season to Houston is no disgrace. Blowing Houston out in Kansas City in the Big 12 championship game is something that their fans will always be able to, you know, to think back on. They get to the tournament, they get out of the first weekend again under TJ Otzelberger, but come up against an Illinois team that, I don't know, if they play this game 10 times, what is it, 6-4 Illinois favor, 5-5? I think they're pretty well evenly matched, Trent, I do. I think you can can see the missed free throws from Illinois. You can see the missed layups from Iowa State. I think you can make a case for both teams that felt that they didn't play their best offensively last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you break it down that way. You know, it was interesting as I'm over here at Wild Rose in Clinton, and hanging out with some of the Bet Rivers people, there was a ton of steam at Bet Rivers, and Bet Rivers only yesterday, on Illinois. In fact, at Bet Rivers, they went from 1.5, 2-point dogs Illinois was. They were the favorite at tip-off last night. So they took a ton of steam. Now, I think a reason for that is
Illinois,
where they're located.
Right.
Yes, they have a big presence in Illinois, and because of that, I'm sure they saw a ton of Illinois money. And another interesting angle to that, in Illinois, we know that you can't bet on in-state college teams over there. That is on your phone. You can, though.
You can show up.
If you go,
yes.
Yes. If you go to one of the properties, you can bet on in-state teams. So it had to be a lot of people doing that and showing up at the casino. Hey, let's watch the Illinois game here tonight and jumping aboard. But, yeah, really surprised to see that. And but it didn't happen anywhere else, and that's kind of that interesting nugget. But I watched the game last night. Neither team played at their best.
Yep.
I would say 55-45, probably a chance for Illinois to win an individual game.
Because they have Terrence Shannon.
And yes, they got the dude, right?
They got him.
Simple as that.
Oh, he really is. All right, I'm going to let you go. We're going to try and figure out so you can join me on the non-phone line. Jim's been on hold since the show started, and I know if I bring him on, you'll get cut off because I'm still, after all these years, trying to figure out this phone system. So we'll rehook up with you, and we'll work behind the scenes and try and get you to connect. All right, we'll catch you after the break when Mike Palm joins us. But right now, let's go to the phones. Let's get Jim in here. You're welcome to join if you'd like. I have a couple of minutes here at 515-284-5966. Jim, thank you for being so patient. I appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ken, it's Jeff. Either way,
Jeff,
just give me a couple, if you got like a couple of minutes, I just want to explain a couple of things. So the first possession of the game, Illinois drives baseline, and we know what Iowa State's going to do. They're going to bring the weak side help, and they're going to set that trap. Now, what Illinois did right from the start is they swung it opposite corner. Help the helper on defense is going to go hot to that corner, and one more pass to Shannon, three.
Yeah. Yep.
They did that three times to start the game, and I know Shannon's not the best three-point shooter.
Yeah, he missed a couple, but early. You're right. Yep, yep.
Not early. He hit three in a row, and they were warm-up threes. So you're getting the best
player. No. He missed a couple of threes. He missed a couple of threes early.
He hit three, I don't know, within the first couple minutes of the game. Am I right there or wrong there?
I think you're wrong. I know he got the first points of the game.
Either way,
yep.
That's, I don't know if Coach Brad Underwood, you know, wanted to set that up. But that got him going. And then I understand he got into foul trouble, mm-hmm. and Iowa State was down 10 at half. Here's the biggest takeaway. And I heard TJ talk about this post game. So as a player, you get exhausted when you're down by double digits and you use all that energy mm-hmm. to cut the lead to 2 points. And they got it there a couple times. You climb that hill to get back in the game. And then when you don't, it's just mentally exhausting. Now on the Illinois side, Iowa State never had the lead. So Illinois always felt good about themselves. They never had that pressure because they never, the game was never tied or they were down. That's a huge component to that game. Now, moving forward, you guys touched base on it. This was a good season. You win the Big 12, conference tournament. You're bringing back a lot of pieces. Now, was it a great season? I don't think so. Getting to Elite Eight since 1999, 2000, that would have been a great season. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, and let's remember this, and Stan talked about this during the game, and I think all the Iowa State fans, they know this. Steve Prohm took this university to the ground. They were 2-22, yep. zero wins in the conference when he stepped away, and TJS came, and I was a big Fred component. I wanted Fred to come back. TJ took the Sweet 16 tournament, Sweet 16. If you're an Iowa State fan or just a fan of basketball, it is so refreshing what he has done for this program and where it's moving forward. Oh, they're in a fantastic spot, and I hope Iowa State fans, I know it hurts, but we got to be rooting on Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're the only
never happened
left in our state. Yeah. Well, I'm an Iowa State fan, Ken,
right. No.
And I know I'm in the dallying category, but this is the last chance to root on one. We may never see Caitlin Clark again.
No, we won't. We won't.
She is one of ours in this state. So tune in, enjoy Caitlin Clark, enjoy this run they're going to have. Hopefully, it continues. But I'm telling you, forget about the Iowa State, the Drake, the UNI, the Iowa Kingdom. Just enjoy watching basketball and enjoy watching Caitlin Clark, Ken, for the weekend.
Yeah, you too, Jeff. And I totally agree with you. I don't think that's going to be the consensus. In fact, somebody, I don't know who it was, might have been Van Gundy, whoever it was, Caitlin Clark's name came up in the middle of the game last night. They're talking about Steph Curry. Steph Curry's the only one that could make that three from that distance, and then somebody threw in Caitlin. Well, we don't forget about Caitlin Clark. That's not the right audience to be injecting her name. But I agree with you, Jeff. I wish everybody would come around, but that's not going to be the case. It's 11:25. Jeff's right. It's going to sting. It's going to reverberate for a while, but kind of isn't that good? Because wouldn't you rather have that feeling than really don't care either way? You know, they'll be back before we know it. Football season's coming. Now, it's good to kind of feel that this is a kick in the you-know-what, a punch in the nose. Terrific season. Could have been better, absolutely. One more step, but it didn't work out that way. We'll take a timeout off to Vegas. We'll go. Mike Palm joins us. Chicken Coop giveaway, that's coming up as well. We'll go to Boston, catch up with Alec Bussey. He covers Iowa State for CycloneAlert.com. And then Tom Cakert, he'll preview the game in Albany tomorrow, Colorado and Iowa. The women, they play at a 2:30 ABC has that one. Miller and Condon underway on a Friday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Racing Circus Sports momentarily. Trent, are you there?
Yes, I got you. Do you get me loud and clear here?
I've got a basketball game going on at the same time as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's two feeds coming through, Trent. Jack, can you kill Trent for me if you want, if you can? This is a disaster. There we go. Let's get to Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circus Sports. Hello, Mike Palm. Thanks for joining us on this Good Friday. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Opening day baseball, Final Four. We're closer to that, Sweet 16, halfway through it. Let's start right there. Well, Iowa State, obviously, front and center. It's been, as you would anticipate, a big talker in the first segment of the program. Did Illinois go off as a dog last night? Last I checked with you guys, about a point and a half. Did you need Illinois last night?
No, we needed Iowa State. We opened the game 3, and it closed 1 at tip-off. I think the public correctly handicapped that this was a really bad matchup. For Iowa State, a team that's really talented offensively,
yep,
is a problem because the team is going to score no matter how good their defense is. And then the fact that Illinois doesn't turn you over on defense, does it negate the fact that Iowa State still got a hit shot, which has been a problem throughout the course of the year. They were great against Houston and really in the whole Big 12 tournament. But I thought this was just a really bad matchup for them.
Yeah, and it turned out to be, no doubt about it. They settled for shots. They took ill-advised shots early in the basketball game, as Van Gundy pointed out. And I got to give Illinois' defense credit, Mike. We knew all about their offense coming into it, but this was a much better defense than I thought I would saw it now would see. Now, going forward, we're going to see UConn and Illinois. Is UConn by far the best team you've seen so far in this tournament, or are they? Is there a way to beat them?
Kenny, I'll be honest with you. I think the only team that can beat them is Purdue, and you know, I've railed on about Purdue's tournament flops in past years. But Edie presents problems, and if you get an officiating crew that with a quick whistle, which might not happen in a championship game, but you can get a lot of guys in foul trouble early. And then their guards are good three-point shooters. And if you get a game where they're hitting 50% from three, I think it's a game like that. And UConn has an off game, they can beat them. But I think UConn is just heads and shoulders above everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. What about the other game? Clemson, is this Clemson team this year's, you know, not Cinderella, because they're only, a six seed, I think. It's still a pretty darn good story out of an ACC that was down all year, yet they march on. When you watch Brunell's team, what do you see?
Well, I bet two teams in December, Kenny. I bet St. Mary's at 175-1 and Clemson at 125-1.
Wow.
So I'm marching on. I haven't hedged as of yet.
Check.
I probably will now. I was actually hoping for Carolina to win. I preferred them to play Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But they played twice during the year, and they actually beat them in Chapel Hill for the first time. Alabama, we opened the game 1. It got bet to 3 already. People betting Alabama. I like Clemson in the spot, but I will at this point start to monetize the ticket. It's for $250 was the bet. So I'll probably try to monetize here. And the problem is they'll meet UConn in the Final Four.
Right.
At that point, I'll have to get off. But just getting them to the Final Four at that point, then I can try to be creative how I want to monetize the ticket.
I saw that at Circa right now. Benson just had the note a little bit earlier, Mike, that you guys have the yes-no on UConn, or just a yes bet on UConn, plus 105 to win the national championship in the field on the other side of that one. Are you guys upside down on the Huskies right now? What is it? What's the best outcome for you guys at Circa?
Yeah, the worst is, well, the best outcome is NC State, Clemson. I mean, those teams are the best outcome. And the top seeds are the worst. They bet the chalk in here. Clemson, UConn's the worst. Houston is the second worst outcome. Purdue is third worst. The only other one that was a negative number for us was Arizona. They're out, so every other team results in a win for the future book. Obviously, some of these teams like NC State and Clemson, there's very little volume on that. That would be the best result.
Hmm. Easter weekend, obviously, and we talked last week, and this was a weekend when it doesn't fall on an Easter that was starting to gain some momentum, right? You had the conference tournaments, then the first weekend of the tournament, but this weekend was starting to build out in Las Vegas. Are you down because of Easter weekend? Was it as bad as you thought it would be, Mike?
Well, yesterday was all right.
Yeah.
The opening day of baseball, although they debauched that again, obviously. I mean, why would you play on Sweet 16 Thursday and have no backup plan for outdoor East Coast games in March?
Right.
But the hotel rates are obviously much softer this year for Sweet 16 Elite 8 weekend than they were last year, largely affected by the holiday.
Yeah. If you had to take a dog tonight, is there one dog you like more than the others? You give Gonzaga a chance to keep it snug, or Creighton. Is there one dog you like more? Maybe not to win, but to keep it within that number?
I think the best game of the night will be Tennessee and Creighton. I think that game will be up for grabs in the final minute. I would obviously take 3.5 if you had me to bet the game. I think Creighton, another game of a contrast of styles, a team that's really good half-court defensively in Tennessee against a team that's very good at half-court offensively in Creighton. So that's going to be a great matchup. I wouldn't be shocked if Creighton wins the game. Sharps are on Duke, interestingly enough. Public on Houston, sharps on Duke. I like Marquette a lot tonight. I don't think NC State could play with them. NC State's had a heck of a seven-game run. But you saw a little bit of the gas coming out of the tank against Oakland. I like Marquette. I have no opinion on Purdue-Gonzaga. Gonzaga's played very well in the tournament. I don't think they're ultra-talented as they've been in recent years. And Purdue kind of lets teams hang around. So interesting game, but no play for me.
Let's jump over to the women's side of things, Mike. And, of course, Iowa in action tomorrow afternoon. They are currently, what, a 6.5-point favorite. So you guys seen a lot of Colorado steam. That thing has dwindled down kind of from everybody's opener that I've seen across the board taking on Colorado money in the matchup tomorrow.
Yeah, Colorado kept that game very close last year, mm-hmm. if you remember, right down to the final minute. They were very much a big threat in that game. Although I think you'd rather play Colorado than a team that beat you this year in Kansas State. Look, Nebraska gave them all sort of trouble in that Big Ten championship game as well and probably should have won it. So the region is tough. I mean, the other game, everybody's betting LSU, and they're sleeping a little bit on UCLA, I think. I know LSU or UCLA was down 10 to Creighton early in the second half there. But I think that's going to be maybe the game of the night, UCLA-LSU.
Baseball for a couple of minutes, Mike, before we let you go. Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circus Sports. For the second straight year, I love the way that you guys have celebrated the return of baseball. You get a Hall of Famer, Las Vegas resident, one of the best to ever toe the rubber, and Greg Maddux to join you right in front of the betting windows at Circa. You set up a mound, you set up a home plate, you do a little speech, and then Maddux comes in and throws out the ceremonial first pitch. Whoever came up with that idea is brilliant, but it seems like Maddux, it's not like he's forced to do these things. He actually seems to be enjoying himself. From a farm, am I seeing that right?
Yeah, well, we got the relationship with him because he does his charity weekend here with the poker tournament, and they'll do it again for the second time, the last weekend in April. But he likes hanging out and talking baseball.
Love it.
And so Frank Thomas was there as well, promoting his new FT35 vodka line. He was actually behind Megan Barker.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Giving out free samples as well. It's funny because I don't know if you could hear my introduction to Maddux yesterday, but it was a ball busting introduction. And I had a bunch of stuff that I was going to keep going on about, it says it takes the best to beat the best, but Greg Maddux proved that wrong. And I was going to go with all the guys that were 270 or below hitters that hit 350 against him and all the pitchers he lost to in playoff starts. And I was going through the list with him, Tommy Green, Philadelphia, 93. And he says, yeah, Morandini, his first was a one hopper off my shin that game. I mean, his recall of every pitch of a game. I said, Rick Ankiel in 2000. He goes, that's the game Ankiel lost it. He couldn't throw a strike and he mentally lost it, never pitched again. He said, I'd given up four runs early and Bobby Cox let me hit in the third. And I was surprised. It was 3-1. And he threw a borderline strike. It's supposed to be a strike to the opposing pitcher. It's not a strike on Ozzie Smith, but it should have been called a strike. It wasn't. He walked me. He wild-pitched me to second. He wild-pitched me to third. But we got back in the game. We got three runs. I said, who was the umpire? He said, I don't know. I looked it up. It was Rich Rieker, who later became a supervisor of umpires in the major leagues 2 years later. But his recall of every detail of the games he pitched in is amazing.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Did you zero in on anything baseball-wise? I mean, we know leading up to it, you hadn't had really time to delve in. What did you end up doing, Mike? Anything futures-wise?
Yeah, I ended up playing the Cubs over 84. And you know what? I played the Reds over, a small bet. Their pitching holds up. I think that's an interesting team. I'm down on the Cardinals and Brewers. I know people on Gil's show touting the Brewers, this, the Brewers, that. I don't see it. I think the council move to the Cubs is huge.
Yeah.
And when we were in Arizona, we saw all the different ways he's changed their training routines. It's pretty amazing and a new approach that they're taking to baseball. So those are the two. We take a lot of money on all the Ohtani under props. People think he's going to get suspended, and they're betting the under, max bet. We've moved the numbers a little, but we just are unimpressed that he would be suspended at some point this season. One, I don't think it all unravels in the next 5-6 months. And two, this guy would have to be like Aaron Hernandez for Manfred to take him off the field.
I think so, too. I agree.
Hey, Mike, before we let you go, I do want to mention, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, for baseball fans out there, and as you know, Mike, I'm an everyday better and an everyday baseball better. You guys on the money line, what you guys have at Circa compared to all the major brands, everybody else out there, I mean, we're talking daily. You're going to find sometimes a 10-cent difference in almost every single game out there just betting the money line at Circa compared to some of the other shops out there. We know that you're a baseball fan. We know Derek's a baseball fan. What is it about baseball and the way the pricing model that you guys use that you're better than everybody else in the market?
We love it. I mean, that's our passion. And Chris Bennett, who's our director, is his passion as well. And we want to have the best. We want to have the best numbers. We want to have the best vig on totals as well as the sides. We don't want to refund bets. I don't know if I mentioned to you, all if the game plays five innings, all bets, including run lines and totals, are going to be action. There's no game only goes seven innings. Your total is the refund, or the run lines are refund. They're all going to be action. So we want people to bet with us, and we want those bets to have action.
Mike, last thing for me, and it's looking ahead to Survivor, and I know you guys are already at that point. Got some news earlier in the week. Was it Wednesday that it seemed from the owners' meeting that there is going to be football played on Christmas Day, potentially two games? So I'm guessing, Mike, as in previous years, Christmas and maybe that Thursday, because if there's two games on Christmas Wednesday, I would anticipate there would still be a Thursday night game, the 26th. Will that be its own week when it comes to Survivor?
Yeah, that's our plan. As long as they have the two games on Christmas, it fits perfectly to create 20 weeks. So that three-game window is just awesome. And, you know, the NFL came out and said they aren't going to play on Christmas on a Wednesday before they played and had all-time great ratings last year, right, with the three games. So they made the pivot. I mean, they understand how powerful this market is. The NFL, I mean, how much better of a job do they do marketing themselves than the other three big sports?
No, it's not even close.
It's laughable.
Yeah.
No, it's laughable.
Yep.
And baseball might not be the worst. And so I think they made the right move. Couple notes before I go.
Yep.
In the women's side, I bet Texas at 20-1. I think you can still find them around 20-1, 18-1 in a lot of places. I think they're a very interesting team as an alternative to South Carolina. I like McSheaper a lot as the head coach. Those girls can play defense, and they got good big and decent guard play. The other thing I would say, and of course it's Easter weekend and Good Friday as we speak, I know there's been a lot of controversy around the country and maybe in Iowa about Caitlin, you know, saying stand the fans up or whatever she said. I it's disappointing to me because I've never heard a Catholic girl use that kind of language, and I hope she thinks better of it next time.
Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circa Sports. Good. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter to you, too. See you, Mike. Bye-bye. Take care. Yeah, tongue firmly planted in cheek for our buddy Mike Palm. Good stuff out of Mike, as always. You know, that Texas team, when they played Iowa State, they just looked like they're just so athletic. And I remember you and I the next day, that when we reconvened here, thinking – we both came in and said that there was a point during the night we both looked up Texas's future when it comes to cutting down the nets, because this legitimately looks as though like it's a team that's built to go a long way in the big dance. I still think South Carolina is, I don't want to say home free, but Texas might be that team, right?
I think they are the one. And, yeah, we came in that day. I put one in my back pocket. I got a Texas future in there at 20-1. We're both really heavily invested in South Carolina. It's kind of, you at least had to take a different kind of angle, was my thought process behind it. And that was before South Carolina not just struggled in the championship game against LSU in the SEC tournament, but the game before. I mean, they needed a buzzer beater just to beat a pretty average Tennessee team, at least for their standards, certainly. And they needed a three-pointer at the horn from their big girl to knock that down and move on in the tournament in the semifinals. So, yeah, I don't think it's home free. I think that gap is still significant. But if there is a team, Texas, I think, is built in a way, a myriad of different scoring options. I definitely think there'd be a team to look at there. So, yeah, for people, because we've been talking about South Carolina, I don't know for how long now, 6 weeks, about how it just felt so good. And, yeah, we're parlaying them with a bunch of other stuff and going that route, and now it's suddenly maybe we need to take a different angle it's difficult to find a bunch of teams, but yeah, definitely Texas is one for me.
No, I'm with you. All right, we'll take a timeout. Are we going to do Chicken Coop? Can we do Chicken Coop, Jack? Can we take some phone calls and some names? Let's do it. The first four callers right now at 515-284-5966. If you haven't played in the last 30 days, if you haven't played for the Chicken Coop giveaway in the last 30 days, 515-284-5966. We'll give you four games and a tiebreaker. If you get the most right, you'll win a $50 gift certificate from the Chicken Coop to use as you please. The runner-up will get 20 wings. Chicken Coop, three locations at Central Iowa. We'll do that when we come back. All we need is your name and your phone number, and Jack will look after you, and we'll do that when we come back on the other side. It's Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. I don't think the Chicken Coop thing is going to work here today. We're having some technical difficulties. Let's get Trent back in here. Can you hear me, Trent?
Yeah, loud and clear.
All right, loud and clear. Yeah, the Chicken Coop's not going to work today, unfortunately, I don't think. Okay. Anyways, we shall move on.
We'll get back at it next week.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll double up or something. Did you see any opening day baseball? I was watching your Twins. So I turned on 3 o'clock, was excited to watch baseball, right? Watch my Blue Jays take the field, blah, blah, blah. Been waiting all off season like everybody else. And Jose Berríos toes the rubber. Ball one. Wham! Out of the ballpark. I turned the game off. I'd had enough. I'd already given up on the season. Didn't even get through the first opponent, the first ray. And I went over and I watched the Royals and the Twins, and I'm glad that I did, because A, was a pretty good baseball game. B, we're going to talk more, way more Royals and Twins than we're going to talk Rays and Blue Jays this year. But so I'm watching the game, and Royce Lewis, who, I mean, I don't know who is more starstruck on that team, Lewis or Buxton. I mean, they're both seemingly made out of glass.
Yes, it's just that way. And he gets off with an early home run.
Yep.
Comes back up, gets another hit. He's 2-for-2, rounding the base, and he comes up gimpy.
No.
Now, it doesn't sound like it's anything devastating, but with the injuries that he's had throughout the course of his career, and the talent is never a question. I mean, you look at what he did last year. He put that Twins team on its back in the victory against Toronto, you know, in the divisional round. He was the guy that punched their ticket to get into the divisional round and finally win a playoff series for the first time in 2 decades.
Right.
And now it's right back to the same thing. You know, Buxton, oh, he's as healthy as he's been in 4 or 5 years, and he falls down, making a grab, been in spring training 2 weeks ago, and we can't put him out there anymore. It's just, you have these concerns that are always just that underlying concern that something's going to go awry with this team, and their depth's taken a hit. I mean, this is a team that's really banked up. They're in the right division, there's no doubt, but Lopez was outstanding yesterday.
He really was.
I was listening in. So, as you heard, I'm sure, because did you listen to the KC broadcast or were you listening to the Minnesota broadcast?
You know what? For whatever reason, my DirecTV is so messed up. I don't get Channel 668 anymore, so I have to call. So I have to watch the Royals.
Really?
Yes, it's so strange. So I was forced
that
to watch,
is.
Not forced to watch and listen to the Royals. So I did not see. So how was Bremer's replacement? What's his name again? Corey Provo?
Corey Provis, Provis,
okay.
And, yeah, you hear him. He does Big Ten Network basketball games. You'll hear him. A lot of Gopher games, obviously, is what he does. So when you hear the voice, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that guy. I know that voice. I know you will, the way that you certainly follow broadcasters. He's good. He was really good. He did something great, though, at the end. So I first was listening on the radio. I was able to pick up, I think it was 1600 out of Cedar Rapids, and they had the Twins broadcast on. I think that's what it was. But anyway, and then when that started to fade out a little bit, I just plugged in my phone and was listening to the TV broadcast and then got over here to Clinton and then watched the last inning or so. And at the end of the game, though, he said a left-handed toast as the Twins win the opener of the season. Well, that was Dick Bremer's thing. He always talked about after a victory, a left-handed toast, and he'd have a picture on Twitter a lot of times with that and having his post-game cocktail after a victory. I thought it was really cool to have that moment to go back to the guy, obviously, that had been doing it now for 30, 40 years on the TV. To have that guy doing that kind of thing, I thought was a really good callback and a really good move out of Corey Provis to remember Dick Bremer, because it felt weird the way that I think he was pushed out and
yeah, he was
before he was ready to go and leave his role.
No, I totally agree, Trent. He was pushed out. I don't think there's any ambiguity to this. He was not asked to come back, and I don't understand it. I mean, the guy has done it forever, but maybe for whatever reason, they decided they needed to change. I watched a little bit. I was into the early into the basketball. Right, there's 162 of these baseball games. We'll be able to get a pretty good idea here just watching this weekend, but I was going back and forth between Texas, Chicago, and the UConn San Diego State game. Cubs are going to be good. I think that's my takeaway from last. At least yesterday, they looked as though they were almost the same team that we saw last year. You know, obviously a couple of exceptions in the rotation. Other than that, for the most part, this is pretty much the same team as what we saw, right? Bellinger's back, and the outfield's the same. The infield's the same. Morel's hitting the cover off the ball. But look, in a division as the same as the American League Central, the National League Central, it's not exactly murderer's row. You can, just by looking at that lineup, think that the Cubs are very much going to be in the thick of things.
The concern coming out of yesterday from the Cubs' perspective is Justin Steele, obviously going
IL. Yes.
The hamstring injury, and at least right away what I read last night is they didn't have anything definitive. If, it's just a strain, we're going to put him on there. It's early in the season, work back. I didn't hear anything, at least, that led me to believe that this is going to be a simple one. Obviously, Jameson Taillon, he's not with the team right now with his back injury. He's sidelined. That rotation is definitely shorthanded, and that was a spot where it didn't feel like they had a whole lot of depth that was at least ready right now. You can get away with it in April because of the off days that are built in and, for rain delays and those kind of things that they have in there. But that would be something that would start to make me pump the brakes a little bit, at least with this Cubs team that we both really liked, obviously, coming into the year.
Yeah, the Steele thing was a force. He tried to make a play off the mound and pulled a hamstring. Actually ended up making the play, which was great on one hand, but you just wonder if this is what, what led to him injuring himself. But we shall see. Twins, Royals. So they're off. They're off today. I know that the regional teams, the Cardinals, play out in Los Angeles again here tonight. Did you see Michaelis tried to stir it up and is taking a little flack now for putting a little bulletin board up material out about the, checkbook baseball, as he called it, for the Dodgers? I guess that didn't go over well in the Dodgers clubhouse, and they made a point of bringing that up after the game. So, like, I have no problem. I think it's good for the game, for crying out loud. There's so many of them. Why not inject a little life into it, a little personality?
Yeah, we need those kind of things, right? We absolutely do. That's a good thing to get a little something. It's a long season. It's 190 days. It's 162 games. A long, long season. You need a little spice in there. It just can't be everything that happens between the lines there. And there, all Michaelis said was everything that we're all thinking,
it's
right?
It's true what he said. Right. Yes, there's nothing he said that was incorrect.
Right.
I don't know. Anyways, we'll move on. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. We're going to head to Boston. We'll catch up with our friend Alec Bussey. For those of you who tried to get into the Chicken Coop contest, we've got your number. You're the contestants next week. That's the best I can do for you. We're having a whole bunch of problems trying to pull this off. Not going to happen here today, but you will be the Chicken Coop contestants next Friday. We have your numbers, and we will call you back to ensure that you get in. Hour two coming up next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.